With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thanks for turning on the radio this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Tuesday, December the 12th. Coming up in today's show, the future of sustainable production methods. We'll have more on that in a little bit. But first, here's Taylor Hillman.
California's recipient of this year's Leopold Conservation Award from the Sand County Foundation came from Kern County. Fifth-generation farmer Jeff Thompson of Thompson International, Inc. was this year's winner. The operation grows a variety of crops like watermelons, onions, potatoes, and carrots near Bakersfield. The award was given at the California Farm Bureau's annual conference, but the ceremony had an underlying sad note. Jeff Thompson passed away shortly after being selected. Sand County Foundation President and CEO Kevin McAleese talked about this year's winner.
Shortly after his selection, he passed away suddenly. So his family was here, I think still somewhat recovering from the trauma of losing their father. But they were here to receive the award in his honor. They really saw it as a way to honor what he had achieved in terms of improving their farm operation, making it profitable, managing the transition to the next generation, and investing himself in a leadership role all across the San Joaquin Valley in doing wetland restoration and other conservation activities, including leadership roles. Is it the Outstanding Young Farmer Award that he won many years ago? And he's continued to be, until his death, was on the selection committee identifying the future farmers.
I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
Secretary Perdue says he expects NAFTA negotiations to go down to the wire, but that deals will come at the last minute. Stephanie Ho reports.
I think trade negotiations a little bit like the way I do Christmas.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue was responding to a reporter's question about ongoing NAFTA negotiations.
You know, I do my shopping on the 24th. That's typically when these negotiations get done in the last throws days of those negotiations. Everyone works better with a timeline when it comes to negotiation.
He says all sides have laid out their positions and that even if they don't initially agree, they will find a way to negotiate and move forward.
There are going to be some anxious moments for our agricultural producers across the country. At the end of the day, I do believe we will get an agreement over NAFTA.
Canadian and Mexican officials meet with their American counterparts in Washington Monday for more NAFTA talks. Secretary Perdue is speaking at Florida A&M University, where he presided over a roundtable discussion on youth in agriculture. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Corn industry leaders visited Mexico last week to reinsure the importance of trade. Here's Michael Clements with more.
The National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Grains Council hosted the joint mission, which also included a group of leaders visiting South Korea. NCGA President Kevin Skunas was part of the group that traveled to Mexico.
We wanted to go down and meet with some of the government officials, SIGARPA, and some of the good customers of U.S. corn. We wanted to go down there and see what their concerns were over the NAFTA negotiations. We also wanted to reaffirm that they are a very important market for U.S. corn and that, you know, we'd do our part when we got back to try and get a very good resolution to the NAFTA negotiation.
The group met with agriculture officials, grain association representatives, and top buyers of U.S. grain products. The discussion focused on the North American Free Trade Agreement, currently under renegotiation. Skunas says Mexico wants to continue trade with the United States.
I don't think they were quite as anxious about it as a few months ago, but they are certainly concerned about the rhetoric that we have going, maybe withdrawing. Of course, I don't know what's going to happen, but we tried to assure them that we have a good plan in place and we try and like to protect that. They were speaking of other markets, and we know that they have made some tenders for South American corn, but they really reiterated to us that we are the favored nation for their imports of all the grains, and they'd like to keep trading with us. Everybody we met with, I think that was a general consensus.
In the 2016-2017 marketing year, Mexico was the largest customer for U.S. corn and corn products. U.S. Grains Council Vice Chairman Jim Stitzline says Mexico is a vital trade partner for the United States.
Last crop year, Mexico took almost 550 million bushels of corn from the United States. And that was worth roughly $2.5 billion. You know, we had the DDGs besides that, the malt and the grain sorghum as well. So they are a very important customer to us. Good to have neighbors like that so that we can share our productive capacity from the farms with consumers. in other parts of the world, but especially when it's your neighbor, this is a relationship that is meaningful for both sides. The users of the grain that we're able to ship there are pretty optimistic that they've got a strong future ahead of them. So that's why they're anxious to see the NAFTA trade agreement continue.
The Grains Council and NCGA continue to engage with Mexico in a dialogue on trade.
We've had representatives meet down there, and we've met with the Mexican delegations in the U.S. too, to explain our objectives and try to calm any fears that they have about the trade relationships. We want them to understand that they're important markets for us, important customers, and we want everyone to understand how much benefit our producers, our growers are getting from this trade relationship.
Other members of the joint mission that traveled to South Korea spoke with government and industry leaders regarding trade and celebrated 45 years of dialogue between Korea and the U.S. Grains Council. Michael Clements reporting.
What's the latest thinking on the supply, demand, and price prospects for U.S. crops? We'll find out very soon. Gary Crawford reports.
Coming up this Tuesday, another round of USDA crop reports and forecasts. This time, though, the USDA Statistics Service will only be providing new production and yield estimates for citrus, cotton, and sugar, and so
trade and domestic consumption for the U.S. is what we'll have most of the new information on.
Seth Meyer runs the USDA's Outlook Board, which, as it does each month, will issue new production, supply, export, and price forecasts for all the major crops. This time, then, basing those more on the demand side than any new U.S. production numbers.
We're still looking at things developing in the Southern Hemisphere, so we'll pay a lot of attention to that.
And also on how U.S. agricultural exports are doing using weekly grain export inspection numbers.
We'll be evaluating that as well, too. We'll be looking at those things and putting those into our thoughts. Does that match what we've been thinking? And so the demand side will continue to get a flow of information.
The new USDA forecasts coming out this Tuesday, the 12th, noon Eastern Time. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Healthy soil can help protect your farm from drought, improve production, and protect soil and water resources. Plus, healthy soil can lower input costs, and that can lead to a healthier bottom line for your business. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and unlock the secrets in your soil. This message brought to you by the NRCS and this radio station.
It's something special that happens for a short period of time. And then it's over. It's Almond Bloom. A flurry of almond buds blossoming with promise and potential. Extend this moment with Retain Plant Growth Regulator for California. Retain reduces ethylene, giving more opportunity for blooms to be pollinated and increasing nut set. Keep the beauty of Almond Bloom longer with Retain. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valent.com/retainca. Always read and follow label instructions.
You go the extra mile for your grapes, citrus, and tree nuts. Does your herbicide? Allion Pre-Emergence Herbicide goes the distance, delivering up to 6 months of powerful residual control of grass and broadleaf weeds, including resistant species. With Allion, you reduce the number of in-season sprays, so you can focus less on weeds and more on profitability. Cleaner, longer. Allion Herbicide from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills. Our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination, our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs, in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's Brian German.
Sustainable ag practices are becoming more common for a variety of reasons. One of the major driving factors comes from increasing regulatory pressures, but another reason stems from consumer expectation. As precision ag technologies continue to become more prevalent on farming operations, it means that more data on the production methods also becomes available, and consumer trends are indicating that sustainability is an increasing priority. Director of the Center for Irrigation Technology at Fresno State, Dr. David Zoldowski, noted how those priorities will influence the increase of sustainable ag practices moving forward.
As the data becomes more readily available and growers can start to provide that, then it'll be a requirement, I think, to sell into the marketplace. I mean, you see green buildings. I mean, we see the green everything these days, and so why not green food? And I don't mean spoiled food. I'm talking about food that has sustainable practices with it, that folks know that the best practices were used to grow that crop, both energy and water and fertilizer, pesticides, I mean, all that kind of stuff, the inputs.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, USDA's Farm Service Agency wants to remind dairy producers that this Friday, December 15th, is the deadline to enroll for 2018 coverage in the Margin Protection Program, or MPP Dairy. The voluntary program provides financial assistance to participating dairy producers when the margin or the difference between the price of milk and feed costs falls below the coverage level selected by the producer. Now, MPP Dairy does give participating dairy producers the flexibility to select coverage levels best suited for their operation. Those who sign up by December 15th deadline will remain in the program through December 31 of 2018 and pay a minimum $100 administrative fee for coverage. You do have the option of selecting a different coverage level from the previous coverage year during open enrollment. But a reminder, something new this year is the option for dairy producers to opt out of the program for 2018. In order to opt out, you simply do not sign up during this annual registration period. By opting out, you would not receive any MPP dairy benefits if payments are triggered for 2018. The decision to opt out is for 1 year only. Only in 2018, it is not retroactive. Now, USDA does have a web tool to help you determine the level of coverage under the MPP dairy that will provide you with the strongest safety net under a variety of conditions. That online resource can be found at fsa.usda.gov/MPP tool. It'll allow dairy farmers to quickly and easily combine unique operation data and other key variables to calculate the coverage needs based on price projections. But again, if you do plan to sign up, enrollment ends December 15th, 2017 for coverage in the calendar year of 2018. That's for the Margin Protection Program or MPP Dairy. For more information, you can visit your local FSA office or you can go online to fsa.usda.gov/dairy. But again, sign up for MPP Dairy ends this Friday, December 15th. And the Food and Drug Administration began keeping records on antibiotic use in livestock animals back in 2009. And for the first time since then, the agency says antibiotic usage has dropped. Sales of medically important antimicrobials for livestock and poultry fell by 10% back in 2016. The decline actually took place ahead of new antibiotic usage requirements that became law back on January 1 of this year. As of this year, farmers, of course, have to have veterinary oversight to give antibiotics to livestock animals. The drugs can no longer be sold for growth promotion. Tetracyclines made up 70% of all medically important antibiotics sold last year, but their usage dropped by 15% from the year before. Opponents of on-farm antibiotic use look at this as a win. The Natural Resource Defense Council points out that the decline follows a series of commitments from the food industry to cut back on antibiotic use. A senior attorney for the NRDC said the progress is heavily influenced by the changes already made in the chicken industry, but also says the beef and pork industries are lagging behind. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
So, have you never had to go grocery shopping again? Well, just wait. It's coming. In fact, right now, some people can use their computers to order and then simply drive by and pick up their groceries. no in-store shopping. Now, this includes your choice of fresh meats, produce, bakery goods, even dairy products. It's all selected by qualified buyers who will load it into your car when you arrive. Of course, it's Walmart who's offering this new service, and 90% of all Americans live within 10 miles of a Walmart store. Now, listen to this. You soon may not even have to drive 10 miles to pick it up. They're expanding the service to include home delivery. The current service is now being used by millions of buyers. Present service is free. You only pay for the merchandise. Well, that's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
Lauren Arbogast is a city girl who married into the farm and found it so interesting that she started a blog about it. Her blog, called Paint the Town Ag, has also become her Facebook and Twitter platform. She shares photos of musings of life on the farm with her husband and two mini farmer sons. She has also become a national spokesperson for agriculture last year when she was chosen by the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance as one of their faces of farming and ranching. Here's Cindy Zimmerman with today's interview with Lauren.
Welcome to the Smart Farmer Podcast, where we meet people around this country who are using the latest science and technology to produce more food more sustainably for the planet. I'm your host, Cindy Zimmerman. Over the course of this podcast, we've gotten to know a number of smart farmers who have put themselves out in the public eye to help tell the story of agriculture by being a face of farming and ranching for the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. These are real farmers and ranchers who produce the food and fiber that feeds and clothes all of us and millions more in other countries. Less than 2% of the population in the United States right now identifies as farmers or ranchers, and that's getting a lot closer to 1% every day. One of those 1%ers who's also a USFRA face of farming is Lauren Arbogast of Virginia. Lauren, thanks for joining us. And first of all, get us started by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, Cindy, thanks for having me on today. Our farm is located in the beautiful Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. So if you're looking at the state of Virginia, we're on the left-hand side on the west there. And it's something that I married into. So I grew up in the city close to the coast of Virginia and married into the third-generation farm. And it is very much a multi-generational farm that we have. We currently have 5 boiler houses, so chickens for meat. We also have cow-calf operation. And then we also background our own steers and heifers once we wean them. And then we have crops, too, and kids are practically a commodity as well. So we throw them into the mix.
Yeah, tell me about your family and how they participate on the farm.
We are very much an involved family. I do work off the farm full time. However, we all pitch in and help participate in any way, shape, or form that we can. My husband and his brother and their dad are full time on the farm, along with some hired employees. And they really keep the day-to-day operations going. But weeknights and weekends, you'll often find me and our kids out and about on the farm just pitching in, doing what we can to not only make the farm work, but also to just instill that love of the farm and of the land and of the animals in the next generation that will hopefully take it over one day.
Well, we're talking about smart farming. And as far as I'm concerned, the smartest thing that farmers do is keep their families together and farm together as a family. But what are some of the other ways that you use technology on your farm to farm more efficiently?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that technology is used on our farms and different farms across the country. And depending on what you farm, also, you know, that often affects how you use technology. But I'll just go ahead and give a blanket statement and say, you know, it's incredibly important with the advent and just more of a push for social media. It's so incredibly important for farmers of all scopes and all different sizes and commodities and whatever they raise, just to be out there on social media and to take advantage of that simple technology that's literally at our fingertips in order to just share what we do and how we care for the land and the animals and what we steward. So that one I would say is kind of across the board. But specific to our farm, you know, I mentioned that I married into this, and so when I married in over a decade ago, all this was very new to me, but it was a chance for me to step in and to say, literally say oftentimes, oh my goodness, I didn't know you could do that. And even over the last 10 years, I've seen the technology evolve, whether that's with our computers that are in our chicken houses that help to regulate the air and the temperature and can give us status updates on how many gallons of water the chicks are drinking and what, you know, what the feed, going on with the feed, down to the guys that come in and do our custom planting and harvesting and riding along with them in their tractors and equipment and getting into the nitty gritty with them about what their computer systems are showing and looking at data maps and just different things that that has to afford us on the farm. The future really is bright for what technology can bring to the farm, not only in efficiency standards, but also in the care of our animals. I mentioned in the chicken houses there and the computers that, that help to regulate some of the environmental conditions in there. That certainly doesn't take the human out of the chicken house or the human, you know, out of that, that help in production. But it's kind of a it helps to be a warning system for us, a red flag, if you will, if we see that the computers are monitoring and the water usage is down. Well, that's a quick notification for us that we need to, you know, check the wells, make sure that the birds are happy and healthy and that, you know, there's not a sickness or something going that would take their water consumption down. And so it's just lots of little things that have helped us and other farmers across the U.S. to be smarter farmers, hence, you know, a smart farm. So I'm really looking forward to the future and what else technology has for us.
Well, Virginia is not thought of as a traditional farming area, so you have a lot of pressure for it from the non-farm public in your state. How has your state, the farmers in your state, responded to that in terms of sustainability, to show the public what you do on the farm to just be more sustainable and more efficient?
Yeah, that's a great question, Cindy. And yeah, you're right. Virginia is a very diverse state, and we're blessed with a lot of different environments and regions in our state that afford us to grow a lot of different products, whether that be, you know, aquaculture on the coast down to, you know, some of the more traditional, the cotton and the tobacco farms down in the southeast, you know, up to smaller niche markets that, you know, serve local farmers markets or, you know, livestock and stock and crops like we have. And the most important thing, I think, and this goes for Virginia and our community that we live in, but also I think it can be applied in many different ways. But the biggest thing that we can do is to be visible in our communities and to literally advocate for what we're doing, but also to do that just in a relationship-based way. So when I'm talking, whether it's on social media or at, you know, a soccer practice with the mom next to me, and I'm talking about what we do in our chicken houses, I'm making sure that I have pictures there that I can show to back up, you know, what I'm talking about in the chicken houses, and just talk about it from a perspective of, you know, not only a city girl coming into this farming life and learning, but also how it makes our farm more sustainable and how we're able to do more with less, essentially, yet at the same time produce a much better product for the consumer, for the public, for my family. You know, everybody that's eating, you can backtrack that to a farmer. And we take great pride in what we do, and I think that's really at the root of it, is that we need to be in our communities and in our spaces that we're already in, but making sure that we're sharing those messages of sustainability and what we actually do on the farm on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you've been serving as one of the faces of USFRA for a year now. What are some of the opportunities that you had over the last year to talk to the public about what you do on your farm?
Yeah, there's been a lot of opportunities, both in person as well as in online forums or different spaces there. One of the highlights from early spring was to go down to the South Beach Food and Wine Festival down in Miami, Florida, and to talk with a very food and drink-based crowd about, you know, where their food comes from, and to be able to show them some of the 360 videos inside of a hog house.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's Lauren Arbogast from Virginia, a USFRA face of farming.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Healthy soil can help protect your farm from drought, improve production, and protect soil and water resources. Plus, healthy soil can lower input costs, and that can lead to a healthier bottom line for your business. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and unlock the secrets in your soil. This message brought to you by the NRCS and this radio station.
It's something special that happens for a short period of time. And then it's over. It's Almond Bloom. A flurry of almond buds blossoming with promise and potential. Extend this moment with Retain Plant Growth Regulator for California. Retain reduces ethylene, giving more opportunity for blooms to be pollinated and increasing nut set. Keep the beauty of Almond Bloom longer with Retain. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valent.com/retainca. Always read and follow label instructions.
You go the extra mile for your grapes, citrus, and tree nuts. Does your herbicide? Allion Pre-Emergence Herbicide goes the distance, delivering up to 6 months of powerful residual control of grass and broadleaf weeds, including resistant species. With Allion, you reduce the number of in-season sprays, so you can focus less on weeds and more on profitability. Cleaner, longer. Allion Herbicide from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Paul Winger, President of the California Farm Bureau, and you're listening to AgNet West Radio.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
AgNet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. AgNet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
In 2 years' time, not a single psyllid has been found in a citrus tree protected by the Tree Defender. No other product in the world can say the same. Tree Defender also safeguards crops against other damaging insects, and deer, snails, and birds won't stand the chance. Tree Defender can be used with most fruit and nut crops, as well as vegetables like tomatoes and peppers. Visit thetreedefender.com to protect your plants from pests. Again, that's thetreedefender.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. Wrapping up your agriculture news for today, selecting for more efficient, high-performing cattle can make a significant impact on a rancher's bottom line. Here's Bob Cervera.
Genetic tools, such as the American Angus Association's dollar value indices, can help producers identify which breeding decisions can move their herd progress forward. Hear from Donnell Brown of the R.A. Brown Ranch in Texas, who's been using selection indices since 1991.
I've been using selection indexes since 1991. My advisor in college was Dr. Ronnie Green. He's now chancellor at University of Nebraska, one of the bright geneticists in the world. And he was the last graduate student of Gordon Dickerson, who was the father of selection index theory. And so it's neat how that's transpired. He taught me that. I've used it for years in building selection indexes. I do it for the five economically relevant traits: calving ease, growth, carcass, reproduction or maternal, and efficiency. To me, those, if I can boil all the EPDs down into those five, they fit somewhere in those five. I take the EPDs and I say, all right, of those five economically relevant traits, what are most important to my producers?
Brown explains how he uses indices to enhance profitability and make quality improvements on his operation.
You know, Angus was on the forefront of using selection index. Their Dollar B index is a terminal index that does an excellent job of describing cattle for post-weaning gain and carcass traits. The weaning index is good for the ranch side of the gate, for the rancher that owns those cattle from breeding all the way through weaning time. And I get information that helps us better evaluate those cattle for as many traits as we can accurately measure.
Dollar value indices not only help guide breeding decisions, they can also add value to all segments in the industry.
If we can increase the profitability and the sustainability of cow-calf producers and cattle producers throughout the segments of the industry, that makes our industry more sustainable and better for the families involved.
Brown was a featured speaker during the 2017 Beef Improvement Federation annual conference in the summer. Visit bifconference.com to learn more. I'm Bob Cervera.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.